From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. With this program, Dr. Cairns begins an overview of the Epistle to the Romans, a book that deals with the heart of the gospel as no other epistle does. In fact, Romans is sometimes referred to as the charter of evangelical Christianity. The Apostle Paul deals with two great themes in Romans, justification by faith in Christ and sanctification. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will introduce this look at the book of Romans under the theme, God's Way of Salvation. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Prayer, Thanksgiving, Praise. The text is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No care, but all prayer. No anxiety, but much joyful communion with God. Carry your desires to the Lord of your life, the guardian of your soul. Go to Him with two portions of prayer and one of fragrant praise. Do not pray doubtfully, but thankfully. Consider that you have your petitions, and therefore thank God for His grace. He is giving you grace. Give Him thanks. Hide nothing. Allow no want to lie rankling in your bosom. Make known your requests. Run not to man. Go only to your God, the Father of Jesus, who loves you in Him. This shall bring you God's own peace. You shall not be able to understand the peace which you shall enjoy. It will enfold you in its infinite embrace. Heart and mind through Christ Jesus shall be steeped in a sea of rest. Come life or death, poverty, pain, slander, you shall dwell in Jesus above every ruffling wind or darkening cloud. Will you not obey this dear command? Yes, Lord, I do believe Thee, but I beseech Thee, help mine unbelief.
Means sacrifice that seems Failures in my human strength have weakened all my pride, and ruined hopes in fallen dreams have crumbled me inside. It's then my grace I finally see, the strength of Jesus Christ. His victory is real in me when weakness fills my life. In my weakness, He is strong. In my need, He leads me on. When I come to the end of all I have, I place my trust in Him. That's when His strength begins. In my weakness, He is strong. In my need, He leads me on. When I come to the end of all I have, and I place my trust in Him, that's when His strength begins.
The greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preaching during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
turning this morning to the book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I was going to commence a series of studies in a particular Pauline epistle, and as I thought this through and prayed about it, I felt that I would need, before I would do that, possibly it's a little fear of the size of the Pauline epistles, but I felt I would need to make the attempt to take a very quick run through all the epistles and try to do what we did with the Gospels and cover an epistle in one message to try and give the heart, the central theme of each epistle, so that we'll be able, hopefully, to see how the New Testament is constructed and what the message is all about. You think that there are 9 epistles to start that many people call church epistles. I don't really like that because, believe me, everything in the New Testament is written to the church. But these are specifically addressed to churches. And then there are some that are more pastoral, practical, and personal. And then, starting with the book of Hebrews, there are those that are written to the churches, but particularly those churches that had a Jewish majority. And they are also, if you include the book of Revelation, which is an epistle from Christ, they are also 9 in number. I think that you'll find that there is a great similarity in construction. The first 9 start with a great doctrinal treatise, the book of Romans. The second 9, the last 9, start with a great doctrinal treatise, the book of Hebrews. The first 9 finish with a little apocalypse in the Thessalonian epistles, dealing with the coming of Christ and the fight with Antichrist. The last 9 deal with the apocalypse, the revelation, dealing with the rise of Antichrist and his destruction at the coming of Christ. So there is a structure to the New Testament, and there certainly is a growing message, or should I say, there is a different slant on the same great message of the gospel as you go through these epistles. Now, we're going to start at the book of Romans. Obviously, that's where you have to start with the epistles, for it's the first in line. We're going to read very, very briefly in chapter 1 and then in chapter 3. Verse 14 to verse 17 in chapter 1, and then chapter 3, verse 21 to 26. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And just to show you something of the difficulty of a preacher covering Romans in one message, in verses 16 and 17, you'll see how Paul piles up the great terms of the gospel of Christ, the power of God, salvation, believeth, the righteousness of God, and then the whole idea of its revelation from faith to faith. There's enough there for an entire course in systematic theology, never mind one message. Let's turn over to chapter 3, verse 21. But now, you should always, in reading Romans, underline that first phrase in 3:21. It is the focal point of all history. You've got before that the fall, its results, and man cut off, useless, hopeless, and helpless to do anything for himself. And the law is weak because of man's fleshly wickedness. But now, God intervening in history, but now, the righteousness of God without or apart from the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's such a well-known verse, I hate to have to stop and give it in slightly different words so that the full force of the tenses may come through. And this would have been clear when the AV was translated. But all sinned and are constantly coming short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of His word for His name's sake. One eminent man of letters said that Romans is the profoundest piece of writing in existence. Martin Luther said that Romans is the chief book of the New Testament. It deserves to be known by heart, word by word, by every Christian. A great Scottish preacher said that it is the charter of evangelical Christianity. That's the book of Romans. Now, the gospel had been spreading throughout the Roman world for some quarter of a century when this epistle came to be written. And as it spread, it had great success, and many Christian churches came into existence. Inevitably, with the spread of the gospel and the success of the gospel, many important questions started to be asked. There was the question, if pardon and salvation are all of grace, if God freely, graciously pardons wicked men, what are we to believe concerning the righteousness of God? How can God be counted just? Then there was the question, if salvation is by faith, without doing anything, without works, then does not the gospel destroy the law? And if that's the case, what are we to do with the words of the Lord Jesus? I have not come to destroy the law, but I've come to fulfill it. There was a third question. If the Gentiles are admitted into an equal standing before God with the Jews, does this not nullify the Lord's covenant with Abraham and with the seed? Does the gospel therefore not teach that God has broken His covenant with Israel and cast them away? And if God has cast away that people with whom He entered into a covenant, how can Christians be sure that He will not cast them away, no matter about all the promises of the gospel? And then, perhaps most pressing of all, there was another line of question. It was this. If salvation is all of grace without any law works, and if grace is seen to superabound over our sin. In the words of chapter 5, 21, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. If this is the case, will believers not be encouraged to sin and live in sin? Will they not draw the logical conclusion? The more we sin, the more the grace of God will be glorified in pardoning our sin. Now, these were some of the questions that were stirred up in the early church. Some of them were asked in all sincerity. Some were stirred up maliciously by people who misrepresented the gospel teaching of the apostle. But these were the questions, and they were the questions that Paul set out to answer in writing the book of Romans. Now, in doing so, Paul gives us in Romans the most formal, thorough, and logical statement of God's way of salvation anywhere in all the Word of God. I should emphasize that the gospel is clear throughout the Scriptures, and especially it's clear in all the New Testament. But having said that, the gospel is at its clearest. It is set forth in all its many aspects, and it's set forth in all its multiplied relations in this epistle to the Romans. Romans centers on the very heart of the message of the gospel, the message of salvation, which is a free justification of ungodly sinners in the sight of a righteous God. That is the heart of the gospel. Then this epistle, describing and defining and expounding that message, relates the truth of justification to the historical facts of the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. It presents Christ as the mediator, the perfect mediator. It emphasizes, and how full is this little phrase, that all these blessings of justifying grace are through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again and again, that is emphasized. He is the perfect mediator. And later it emphasizes, as mediator, he is the perfect covenant head of his people. And in union with their covenant head, the people of God have a righteousness and a reconciliation with God. Then this epistle to the Romans goes on to show that the only means whereby the ungodly can actually receive all this gospel blessing, this acceptance with God, is by faith, without any admixture of works. The only means of laying hold of salvation is by faith without works. Now that's the great doctrine of the epistle.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info at faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.